From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 9th day of August, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Frayne Olson will join us from NDSU, North Dakota State University Extension. He has some thoughts about the upcoming WASD, or World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimates, and the Crop Production Report, and some reminders for farmers about how that report is put together. And then, as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too. That with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics in Chicago, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today at $5.50 and a quarter, settled 4 3/4 lower. December at $5.53 and 3/4. That's your new crop, down 2 3/4 in the March. 3 cents lower at $5.61 and 3/4. September beans, $13.41 and a half a bushel. 2 3/4 lower. November down 7, $13.29 and 3/4 the settlement price. And January soybeans 7 1/4 lower at $13.34. Bean meal at $3.57.30, up $1.50. In the bean oil, $1.09 lower at $60.72 on the settlement price. December wheat, soft red at $7.25 1/4, 8 cents lower. The hard red December at $7.13 1/2, down 4, and the spring December at $8.95, down 8 1/4 cents for the day. Live cattle futures at $127.47 1/2. 40 cents lower. Feeders at $163.20, down 12 1/2. And lean hogs, the $3 limit lower at $84.60. Crude oil futures at $66.13 a barrel, about $2.15 lower. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.03 1/2, down 4 8/10. And the wholesale price of gasoline today, 2 7/10 lower at $2.22 9/10. Gold futures at $1,732.80, down $30.20. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 35,040, 51 points lower. The U.S. dollar up 0.12 at 92.92. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to discuss the marketplace as we make our way towards the first crop production report of the year. That's due out at 11 a.m. on Thursday of this week, the 12th. However, we have a few trading days and hours to get through before we get there. The market has been narrowly trading, and I guess the Goldman roll is in place at this point as well. How did you see the overnight and day trade, Kurt?
Well, kind of choppy back and forth. The overall picture was there was a rain event, kind of hit and miss. Seems like central Illinois south, some fair amounts of rain. You get north up to Wisconsin, in between here and there, there was some lighter amounts. It's a situation now where you get some rain here in August. It's going to, you know, help the crop, help the beans particularly. We'll see what this afternoon's crop conditions report shows. They were looking for all 1% drop in the good to excellent category. I think the average trade estimate is mainly about unchanged from last week. Last week we saw the corn conditions at 62% good to excellent. That was versus 72% over a year ago. The key areas continue to watch, of course, here in Illinois, were 68% good to excellent. Iowa, 62% good to excellent. And the Minnesota area is 36% good to excellent. Then, of course, Dakota's down in that 18% area. So we'll see from state to state who improves and who kind of stays the same. Beans last week improved 2%, 60% good to excellent. About the same type of breakdown in the beans as in the corn for the most part, with some of these states really, really, really struggling. Short term, though, the rain across the Midwest, there's more rain as we go into the weekend here to kind of take the edge off on some of these drier areas here in the east. There was also reports or talk about a UN report suggesting that humans have been responsible for climate change, and that weighed on the energy and grain complex overnight. The fear is if we start to see a slowdown in fossil fuel consumption, that would slow down bio. But on the other side of this story, bio and ethanol and all that's kind of the answer here short term until the electric picture kicks in a little bit more longer term. So there's a lot of debate there as we move long term in the future for the most part. We did see 104,000 ton beans sell to unknown destination. That kind of helped the market open a little firm. But the problem and the concern is we're not seeing confirmation of big Asian purchases at the moment. This is the time of year we start seeing them come forward and put some on the books for some shipments later on here in the marketing year, particularly this winter when they've got the boats freed up from the southern hemisphere and have them up here in the northern hemisphere shipping out our corn and bean, mainly beans, for their needs to feed that hog herd they're rebuilding. As you mentioned, crop report here towards the end of the week, Thursday at 11 a.m. See what type of numbers we come up with. Old crop, average trade guess on old crop ending stocks on corn is 1.1 billion bushel. That's up about 20 million. Beans, 148 million bushels. That's up about 13 from July. I don't know if we'll see a whole lot of change on that. We're pretty well finished up for the old crop here. We marketing year starts September 1. Just about everybody's where they need to be for the most part on that. New crop is going to continue to be a juggling act, what type of yield, what type of demand you put on it. But the bottom line on the corn is they're looking at a 127 billion bushel corn carryout and 157 million bushel bean carryout. The corn number is about 160 million bushels less than the July. The bean number is about unchanged on that. As far as the yield, you know, we'll see what the yield comes up with. That moves the bottom line more than anything. The average trade guess is just a little bit below what we saw in July. Corn yield 177.4 versus 179.5. Bean yield 50.3 versus 50.8 is the average trade estimates for this report here on Thursday, Todd.
So we've got the report coming up. Is this report likely to weigh on the marketplace very much? And I ask this simply because this is year two now of the crop production report in which USDA won't be taking actual samples from the field. They made that change at the request mostly of traders and farmers, and I'm wondering what it means to both of them as it relates to how much weight they want to put on this report.
I think it'll be short-term lived. I think it'll be like the previous reports we've seen in through here. As you mentioned there, it's a big move or a big input to have actual samples to work with, just, you know, other than trying to estimate from the windshield what's going on. You know, a lot of producers have been out and actually pulled back shucks and counted kernels and so forth. We still have a little bit of the growing season to go, particularly on beans yet, and I think the September report will be the main one that's going to give the market a little bit more confidence where the crop's at, because we still can see this yield go up and down quite a bit here over the next 30 to 60 days.
How does demand appear it's holding up?
Well, it's kind of stable right now. I think everybody's where they want to be at the moment, both buyers and sellers, and that kind of tells us why the market's been trending sideways here for the last few months. I mean, we had some sharp ups and sharp downs, but we're still within the same trading range. The thing is, like we mentioned earlier, we've got to have this Chinese confirmation on these beans, because that's what the analysts have built in, and that demand needs to come forward here. We need to see that actually happen. Feed use, pretty big. I mean, we're still looking at some ample livestock numbers. We're seeing some shuffling around of livestock in the West, particularly the cattle guys, just due to dry pasture conditions and concerns about feed cost and so forth. So we'll see some migration in that side of the equation. But overall, feed use is strong, ethanol, bio strong. We just need some help here with some confirmation of some big sales to China here in the next month or two.
It appears the marketplace is nervous, but not particularly worried about the spike in COVID across the United States and other parts of the planet. That likely to play any role in the future, you think?
Well, the country's split. I mean, I'm not wearing a mask, and the other half are saying, you better get a mask on. So some say you got to get a shot, and some say, I'm not getting a shot. But yes, it could be a concern later on here if we continue to see these numbers spike up. You know, it's just a raw fact. You get sick and not able to work, or if you see these people fearful of going out, and particularly restaurants, going out to eat, you start to see that fear, or you see some of these states to shut down things, that's going to slow down the demand side of it. And that's part of what got into the energy market here, the fear that we could maybe see a slowdown in travel due to the ideas that people might take a step back here and say, well, we'll see what happens.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Two quick items of note for the week. USDA will release its first crop production report for corn and soybeans on Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Time. You can find those numbers on our website at willag.org. They'll be posted there along more immediately with the @CommodityWeek Twitter account, so you can look that up as well. If you're a Twitter follower, of course, that account will be posted into the website at willag.org. And tomorrow morning, CONAB, which is USDA's counterpart in Brazil, will release an update of its crop production figures. This one will incorporate the latest information from the Safrinha or second crop corn. Those numbers, of course, will be rolled into the USDA's thought process on Thursday, not for the crop production report, but the WASDE, World Agricultural and Supply Demand Estimate. That one also due out. Again, that's 11 o'clock Thursday for the USDA reports. Tomorrow morning, the CONAB numbers are due at 7 a.m. I'll get those posted to the website as quickly as I can as well. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Frain Olson from North Dakota State University Extension, where he's an agricultural economist. Thank you, Frain, for being with us on this Monday prior to the USDA report, which comes out Thursday, the first crop production figures from the government for both corn and soybeans. Going into that report, is there anything you try to remind farmers about the report itself?
Yeah, there's some confusion, I think, about how USDA gets or derives their August, as well as their September and October yield estimates. So August is the first time that they come out with a revised number that's based off of kind of current conditions. Up until this point, we've always used trend line yield. And so right now, the August report is, even though it's really early in the season to try and forecast or predict final yields for both corn and beans, because we've got a lot of growing season left, it is the first attempt. And the two core pieces of information that USDA uses is, number one, a farmer survey. And the second is satellite imagery, or what they call remote sensing. So they're using data that's being collected not only from NDVI, the kind of crop health conditions, but also some additional ground truthing, if you will. They won't come out with the objective yield surveys where they actually send people out to specific fields until September. So given that, you know, it's farmer survey and satellite imagery, and from that they're going to try and forecast or predict what the final yield is going to be. But in that assumption process, in kind of this, where do we think we're going to end up, is embedded the assumption that we're going to have average or typical both rainfall as well as temperatures from here on forward. So in the Western Corn Belt, that's definitely not the case. We have very dry conditions. The extended forecast is for hotter than normal temperatures as well as drier than the normal precipitation. And so a lot of the farmers and even some of the market traders and analysts are going to look at the USDA numbers and saying, man, those are too high relative to what we see in our backyard. And just understand that the process that USDA uses is a pretty set in stone process, that they have a method and methodology they use. So we as farmers, and as you're putting your marketing plan together, please understand that what you see in your backyard may be very different from what the numbers that USDA is going to come out with. But the traders are going to trade the number. So we have the pre-report industry estimates on what the industry thinks is going to be the number. And we're going to trade what USDA actually reports relative to what they expect to see. So we have to keep that in mind. This is all about expectations. The futures market is trying to anticipate what will happen into the future. And as they can be frustrating for farmers because their viewpoint is very different. But just understand the traders are going to trade the number that comes out on Thursday.
On Thursday, when that number comes out, many will point right away to the yield number. The trade's estimating at 177.6. USDA's on a trend lined average, a record yield, by the way, even at trend line at 179.5 for corn. However, when you look at total production, USDA at 15.165 billion bushels using the July acreage figure, and the average trade estimate's right at 15 billion bushels. There's only 161 million bushels difference between the two. And I believe from previous crop production reports, that's within the margin of error of what they put out normally.
Right. And so that is kind of this tale of two crops that we have right now for corn and beans. You have the Western Corn Belt, where we know there's going to be some yield drag because of the hot, dry temperatures. And we're seeing, you know, the weather forecast, again, the extended forecast, looking for that trend to continue. And then you have the Eastern Corn Belt, which is on the kind of the other side of that frontal boundary, that's actually been getting a lot of precipitation. And the crop looks very, very nice. And so you have this kind of this tale of two cities, if you will. And the real question that we're trying to struggling with is, well, will the increased yield we get in the Eastern Corn Belt be enough to offset some of the losses we're seeing in the Western Corn Belt? And that is going to be a hotly debated topic up until when the combines run and we start seeing some yield monitor data coming in. And so right now, I think the expectation is, well, it'll be a push. The loss we have in the Western Corn Belt from a yield standpoint will be offset by increased yields in the Eastern Corn Belt. And that's very likely given what we see coming in the weather forecasts.
We'll hear more from Frayne Olson tomorrow right here on the Closing Market Report. We'll talk about conditions of the crop in the southwestern part of Minnesota, northwestern part of Iowa, and of course in the Dakotas. Frayne Olson is an agricultural economist at NDSU Extension, North Dakota State University. Mark Russo now joins us from Everstream Analytics to talk about the agricultural weather forecast around the planet. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us. Let's start here in the United States, please, with the weekend weather. Where did the rain fall and where did it not across the Corn Belt?
Hi, Todd. Yeah, assessing the rainfall situation over the past weekend, overall, no big surprises as there was some rain activity in portions of kind of very variable across much of the Midwest. Wisconsin and areas of far southeast Minnesota, kind of the big winners with rain activity, amounts over, you know, 1 inch, or several areas picked up over 3 and 4 inches of rain in Wisconsin. As you moved away from there, activity became a bit more scattered, but, you know, portions of Illinois picked up rain on into northern Indiana. Overall, and at least an environment for at least, you know, some rain activity around, especially in areas of the central Midwest.
I did make note that the Bloomington Normal area had torrential rainfalls again over the weekend. That's happened a couple of times over the growing season. Where did we actually not get rainfall that you think really needs it?
Portions of still like the Dakota, especially eastern North Dakota, and then pockets of southeast South Dakota into northern Nebraska did tend to miss out with rain activity over the weekend. And that's really the larger portion of acreage here that could stand to use more rain, as that's been the dry spot here this growing season.
Any relief for them or any place else in the coming week?
Very limited relief here coming up, not only this week, but on into next week as well, as the pattern looks to be more of the same, meaning that that northwest part of the Corn Belt looks to stay in a drier than normal pattern. The more favorable setup for rains looks further east across the central and eastern Corn Belt.
What's the end of August look like across the Corn Belt?
Right now, Todd, we're expecting still kind of more of the same, with, again, the central and eastern Midwest being more favored for rain. And at times, some, you know, heat or warmer than normal temperatures, but the more extreme conditions still look to be in areas of the plains, especially northern plains, extending into the northwest Corn Belt as well.
And sometimes as we get to the end of August, early September, the hurricane season starts to kick in, and that will bring rainfall either to the Delta, Texas, sometimes into Missouri, even Illinois, parts of Iowa too, depending on the track. What does the hurricane season look like?
Yeah, we continue expecting a above normal hurricane season here. And not to the levels of last year, but overall more activity compared to, you know, normal of the past couple of decades. And on top of that, we are expecting, as we get into the second half of August and early September, we are expecting things to turn even, you know, much more active here after, you know, it's been a rather quiet past 4 weeks. So, be on the lookout for an increase in tropical activity, and that'll become more, you know, of a, you know, wild card here as we, in terms of precip prospects as, and crop damage potentially as we get into later this month and early September.
What else are you watching across the planet?
Yeah, we're watching currently Southern Europe, which is beginning to heat up, and actually producing drier conditions actually across much of Europe. But for most areas, the dryness is welcome given the wetter conditions that have been in place and some of the flooding issues in pockets of Western Europe. But the more significant heat will be in countries such as Italy and Spain and the Balkan countries as well. So late developing summer crops will experience some heat stress there over the next couple of weeks.
In China, what's your assessment of the growing season?
Overall here, Todd, it's been a favorable growing season across much of China. Has not been any long-term dryness or wetness or any kind of, you know, major or extreme heat. And there's been these pockets of wetness and flooding at times, but, you know, not to the levels of a year ago. And looking ahead here, also just not seeing any signs of issues developing here over the next several weeks.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. Thanks for having me.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Everstream Analytics. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.